Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, thank you for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast. Well, the question for today, which is Thursday, April 2nd, is how is everyone doing in the COVID crisis and with the stay-at-home restrictions? Well, all I do is stay at home with Becky, and both of us at about 1:45 leave every day to go to the hospital. So we don't do a whole lot except go to work. We can't stay at home because we're healthcare professionals. I work in housekeeping, and I work with the trash on all levels of the hospital in every floor. We have about 50 patients with the COVID-19 virus, and on every floor I go through the latex, the washing, the Birex, using hand sanitizer, making sure I'm as clean as possible as I pull the trash out of the closet. From time to time, I have to go into the patient room with needle box changes. Now, when it comes to a patient with COVID, I cannot go in that room, so I have to actually hand it to the head nurse there. She will actually take her sanitizing wipes and wipe off everything before she hands it right back to me. So it is a scary and challenging time, but I have to say hats off to the nursing and the doctors on the third floor that are running like wild every day to cope with the patient load, with the seriousness of illness, and all the work that they do. My thoughts and prayers are with them and all healthcare professionals all around the world right now. As you know, we are doing a special series on the promised Messiah, and today is part two. On part one, I established the fact that God is in control of history. What he says will happen. And what we see in the Old Testament are specific prophecies of Jesus made 500 to 600 years in advance, specific passages of Scripture. Last week, we examined the first mention of the Messiah, the coming Redeemer, who would crush the head of the serpent while the serpent, that is Satan, would bruise his heel. And we saw that fulfilled in the cross of Christ when he was crucified for our sins. This week, I want to continue on this idea of God being in control of history. But I want to talk about the Messiah and his prophecies and the promises fulfilled. There are those critics will say, well, all of these prophecies, these so-called prophecies, they're taken out of context. The Jewish writers manipulated these statements and attributed them all to Jesus. Well, that is really nonsense in a nutshell. There are others that would say, well, how could any one person fulfill all of these prophecies? It's just, you know, and the statements that you hear of unbelief and doubt is simply because A, people don't believe that God knows the future. We have soothsayers, astrologists, tarot card readers that try to tell individuals their future. The only problem is every one of their predictions don't really happen, don't come to pass. They'll make some kind of general statement that could happen to anyone, but explicit, detailed glimpses of the future, there is no astrologist or tarot card reader that can even compare to our God, who not only knows the future, but plans it. And so I want to help us understand how Jesus the Messiah really did fulfill all Old Testament prophecy. Well, now, what does this mean? This means that the Bible is utterly unique. There is no book on the planet like the Bible that has amazing prophetic fulfillment, demonstrating the uniqueness of our God, that he knows and plans the future. One reason the Bible's Old Testament is so important to Christians is that it contains prophecy, over 300 predictions on one count, that like the threads of a tapestry establish the messianic credentials of Jesus. Well, put it another way, the Old Testament is like an intricate jigsaw puzzle. The numerous pieces on their own, they're puzzling if you look at all these statements, until they are assembled enough to fill out the intended picture. Well, you know that, the point being made. You take a piece of a jigsaw puzzle, and by itself it doesn't seem to mean much, but as you assemble these pieces together, they form a beautiful mosaic or picture. And now, once the pieces come together, the puzzle makes sense. And that's the same with the Old Testament. Well, some people have tried to say Nostradamus predicted the coming of Hitler, and we can go on and on with all these examples, but none of them are specific. None of them are detailed. Micah 5:2 specifically names the birthplace of Messiah in Bethlehem. It's not vague. It's not subject to interpretation. It's very specific. That's just one example. Now, some will all look at the Bible and say, well, you look at the Old Testament prophecy, and like Nostradamus, this was fulfilled in the depths of Kennedy, Nasser, Martin Luther King, and other great figures. Well, one could possibly find a prophecy or two fulfilled in the lives of some of these noted fellas, if you will, but not one of them can be credited with fulfilling all of them. Only Jesus did so. Now, just to give you an example again, a handful of examples of prophecy made 500 to 600 years before the coming of Christ and fulfilled in Jesus. He was born in Bethlehem. He was preceded by a messenger, John the Baptist. He entered Jerusalem on a donkey. He was betrayed by a friend, Judas, who received 30 pieces of silver and was silent before his accusers. And Jesus died in the manner of crucifixion that Romans used to punish criminals, during which they pierced his hands and feet. Now, to further illustrate the miraculous way the Bible presents this fulfilled prophecy, Peter Stoner, in his classic book, Science Speaks, calculated the chance of any man fulfilling these prophecies, even down to the present time, to be 1 and 10 to the 17th power. That's 17 zeros. And the question is, how can anyone think that Jesus just happened to be in the right place at the right time? Well, to help us visually comprehend the staggering odds of this probability, Stoner proposed that we take that many silver dollars and lay them across the state of Texas. In doing so, we'd find they would stack up across the state 2 feet deep. But wait! There's more. Now mark one of the silver dollars and stir up the entire mass of coins. Then blindfold an enthusiastic volunteer and tell them or tell him that he can travel as far as he likes across Texas, but that he must pick out the marked silver dollar, the one marked silver dollar in the mass of these coins. That is how difficult it would be for one man to fulfill these prophecies. Just, again, a few examples of what we're talking about this morning. Jewish scholars understood and interpreted their sacred scriptures as being capable of what is called multi-level meaning, meaning that in a narrative text, a detail or element could appear significant enough for a reader to feel it hint at a larger idea, even as it remained part of its own story. Centuries of biblical interpreters have followed the lead of the authors of New Testament scripture who quote elements of Old Testament scripture to show how it foreshadows Jesus as Messiah. Now, the foreshadowing part of interpreting this is fascinating. For instance, in the Old Testament, Moses called for all of the elders of Israel and said to them, "Pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb." In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verse 7, Paul says, "For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." All right, Paul is saying Jesus is the Passover lamb, mentioned in Exodus 12, 21. Well, we know that the festival of Passover celebrates God's deliverance of the Israelite people from slavery in Egypt. And as we know from Bible history, Pharaoh's continued stubbornness to release the Israelites resulted in the 10th and final plague, the death of every firstborn. The Jews, by smearing the blood of a spotless lamb upon the doorposts of their home, were passed over and didn't suffer this consequence. The Egyptian, including Pharaoh, lost all of their firstborns. So how does this foreshadow Christ? They were told to smear the blood of the lamb above the doorposts of their dwelling place, and the death angel would pass over and not kill their firstborn. Well, by accepting Christ, we're applying the blood of the doorposts to our hearts, so to speak. We escape judgment and eternal separation from God. Now, scholarly sources tell us unanimously that Jesus was crucified around Passover, which further reinforces his identity as the Passover lamb. The unblemished lamb that the Jews sacrificed were selected 5 days before they were slaughtered. Similarly, Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem 5 days before the Passover sacrifices in the temple. He entered Jerusalem on the day of lamb selection, choosing to become the ultimate Lamb of God. So we see this foreshadowing of Jesus in the Old Testament. We see the fulfillment in the New. One more example. The Messiah was to enter Jerusalem on a donkey. The Old Testament verse, Zechariah 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey," on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Well, here we have Luke chapter 19, the corresponding fulfillment. "And they brought it to Jesus," that is the donkey, "and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen." So we see this fulfillment of an Old Testament prediction in the New Testament. I want to take just a couple of minutes to further illustrate this point with you on this important little special report on Jesus fulfilling Old Testament prophecy.
Over the course of this entire series of Drive Through History, we've mentioned ancient prophecies about a future Messiah that the Gospels say were fulfilled in the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Remarkably, scholars count hundreds of these prophecies in the Hebrew Scriptures, over 300, in fact. Even more remarkable, these predictions were made by multiple authors over the course of about a 1,000-year time period.
When the resurrected Jesus was eating fish with his disciples on the Sea of Galilee, he reminded them of the things that had happened during his ministry. For the first time, Jesus opened their eyes to all the prophecies that had been fulfilled by him. He said, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Luke 24:44.
Again, we're talking about Jesus being the fulfillment of over 300 prophecies without missing a single note. The odds of that happening by chance are zero. And so for any person to fulfill them all, it would take their circumstances being divinely orchestrated. In fact, that is the claim of the Gospels. Now, while many of the prophecies of the future Messiah were general in nature, some were very specific, like where the Messiah would be born and how he would die.
The Messiah will be a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Judah, of the house of David. He will be conceived by a virgin, born in Bethlehem, and taken to Egypt as a child. The Messiah will be heralded by the messenger of the Lord and anointed by the Holy Spirit to minister in Galilee, perform miracles, and preach good news. He will cleanse the temple, enter Jerusalem as a king riding on a donkey, be rejected by the Jewish people, and betrayed by a friend for 30 pieces of silver. The Messiah will die a humiliating death involving rejection, mocking, beating, the piercing of his hands and feet, and the piercing of his side. He will be crucified with thieves, and his executioners will cast lots for his clothing. They will give him gall and vinegar to drink, but unlike the other victims, none of his bones will be broken. In the end, he will be buried in a rich man's tomb, but will rise from the dead and ascend into heaven.
It is amazing. It is amazing. Those are a few examples of the over 300 prophecies that Jesus meticulously fulfilled during his life and ministry. And we're looking at a God who understands, who knows, who predicts and fulfills the future, who sent the Messiah to be the Savior of our sins. I want us to take a short break here and listen to a great song from Michael W. Smith as he asks the question, could he be the Messiah?
Bread and hurry.
Incredible worship music of Michael W. Smith from his very first project years and years ago. What a great song it is. It asks the important question, and then it makes the declaration, it is He, the Messiah. I want to share with you this scripture from the Old Testament and show once again the amazing fulfillment in Jesus. And at a time like this, when we're going through this chaos, this hysteria, this real fear, this death, this plague. I want you to think about that when I read this beautiful prophecy. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 through 6. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. Jesus came as our deliverer. He definitely raised the dead, healed the sick, opened the eyes and the ears of those that were afflicted. And as we are facing a crisis unprecedented in our time, remember the promise of God. With fearful hearts, he's saying, be strong, don't be afraid. I am coming to destroy your enemies. I am coming to save you. We may not understand and comprehend the reason for all of this, but we know one thing is for sure. This plague, this virus, will soon come to an end. Our God will deliver us. Our God will save us. Our God is in control of that. And I understand when you are facing a life-threatening illness, sometimes words like that sound trite, and I'm not meaning them to sound that way. But I am announcing what God has said. He sent the Messiah the first time to deliver us from the guilt and punishment of our sins. The Messiah did amazing miracles, and our God is not different today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What we hear in the media is only a glimpse of the great stories of heroism all over the world with our healthcare professionals, our hardworking scientists and doctors. Where did that knowledge and healing come from? It came from our God. He gave them that knowledge and ability. He is in control of all of this. Be strong. Don't be afraid. Our God is coming to destroy our enemies. This tiny little virus has turned our world upside down. The economy that we might have been trusting in has been completely overturned, chaos, unemployment. But here's what God said. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but this should be you. But we will remember and trust in the name of the Lord our God. In just an instant, a tiny virus turns everything upside down, and it reveals where our heart and our trust is at. Let us have our trust in the Lord Jesus, in Yahweh. He is in control, and may he bring healing, wholeness, and deliverance to us very soon. President Trump says these next 2 weeks are going to be extremely painful. But let's pray and trust that God will overturn these circumstances and bring healing and relief to all of us. To all of us who are staying at home and just saying, why? This is a time to draw closer to God. This is a time to look at our lives and reevaluate them and make sure that the important things we're living by. This is a time to draw closer to God, our families. This is a time to evaluate ourselves. This is a time to pray like never before and for the church to shine. Be the shining example of health and healing to the hurting. This is a time for us to rise up, to be strong, and do not be afraid, to know that God is in control. He is coming to destroy our enemies. He is coming to save us. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening today. I will see you again on Monday for part 3 of this series, The Promised Messiah. Have a great, great weekend.